back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the holiday week. Happy holidays, everybody out there celebrating Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas, Christmas Eve. Falcons coming to town. Whatever you're celebrating here this week, we appreciate you. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour taking a little bit of a rest, but we had such a great, great 31st anniversary last week over at Costas. I had a bowl of half and half. I had a little clam chowder. Had a little Greek salad. Gina Shock. I had my crab cake stolen by a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer from Dundalk. Leonard Raskin is back from the beach. He's getting ready for the holidays, watching bad football, good football, bowl gaming with those Ohio State. At least you have a chance for a national championship. It's slim, right? But you got Ohio State going on, Leonard Raskin.
Hey, you never know, man. It's just it just takes 60 minutes to take out Georgia, which it's going to be hard to do, but anything's possible. What do they say? Any given Saturday, I guess they say. And so the Buckeyes will be heading to the Peach Bowl and trying to take out the vaunted Georgia Bulldogs, who are repeat champion, trying to get to the repeat championship.
You're making your way to Atlanta for this, right? When is this game?
The New Year's Eve, 8 o'clock.
Okay. All right.
So it's a way to celebrate New Year's Eve with either a big win. A couple years ago, we celebrated, I think it was New Year's the night before or New Year's Eve, I don't remember, when they beat Clemson. It was quite the celebration in the Raskin family. That was the boys' freshman year. And then they lost to Bama. And this year we got to fight Georgia. So
did
we'll
he
see
have
if...
other options for college, or was he going to Ohio State the whole time?
Oh, like, no, what? No. Lots of choices. Lots
okay.
of choices. He applied to 11 schools.
So what was second and third for? Because I'm just trying to picture
it's
in
really
my mind
crazy. It's
what
really
you
crazy.
Would have, what you what gear you would have been wearing, because there's no
nothing,
real purpose you'd
nothing.
Be wearing Ohio State, right? Like, literally,
Correct.
Nobody in your family,
Correct.
There's none of
Nothing,
that, right?
just a boy,
Okay.
just
Okay.
a boy.
So
His
what was
second
second
choice,
place?
Gettysburg.
Oh, that wouldn't have been as much fun. Go ahead, next.
No, third was University of Toronto.
That would have been a good time, but
it would have been a good time, but
no
teams, no nothing.
Okay.
Just, you know, he loved the college, he loved the university. It's a darn good thing he didn't go there, because COVID would have been a mess. In the first year up in Toronto, he might not have been able to get in. If he got in, he might not have been able to get out. It would have been crazy. And fourth on the list was Wisconsin.
Yeah, you don't want to do it. I mean, I've been to Camp Randall. And they sway. They do all that. I mean, I like it all. They jump around and all
jump
that.
Jump around.
Well, I mean, between Madison and Columbus, you're getting a very similar.
Yeah.
Madison's a smaller college. Columbus is a real city, but like.
Right. Right. But he picked Ohio State. He's happy. He's loving it. Just finished semester number 5. He's got another
well, the football
4-0
the
semester
centerpiece of
coming.
This, right? Like, it's this is fun for dad. All
Right.
I do is see you as like Thornton
No,
Mellon
it's
in
me.
Back to
Right.
School. Is all
Right.
I see with
Right.
you.
I'm telling him, dude, I can do the triple Lindy.
That I do not want to see, Leonard.
No, I
You
don't want to see
listen,
it either.
I don't know. Here's two things I never want to see again. I never want to see Tyler Huntley throwing to James Prochet on fourth down. I certainly never want to see James Prochet throwing anymore. And I don't want to see you do the triple Lindy.
No, right.
But
you're right.
To bring this thing full circle into the Ravens world, and you're going to give us some financial advice for the holidays. Probably,
don't
you know,
pay Tyler Huntley $250 million.
Whatever it is, but that. Speaking of Ohio, I mean, didn't go so well the other day. The Ravens are regressing right now, right?
I'm confused. Okay, I'm really confused. Look, we've talked about this over and over again, that my experience in football is fandom. Okay, I've never been a coach. I played as a kid, but only till high school, and I didn't play technically, you know, official ball in high school. So I'm not the knowing sage like these people on the internet that say John Harbaugh and Greg Roman need to be fired. That's not me. But I am wise enough to know that Tyler Huntley should not have been throwing the ball 30 times in a game where J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards were torching the Browns front line. I just don't understand this lack of desire to continue to run. They say, well, everybody knows you want to run and everybody's trying to stop the run, so you got to pass. And my answer is, everybody knows you're going to run. They got to stop the run. And when they're last in the league against the run, you run till they stop the run. And I mean, I watched Army Navy. It wasn't a pretty game, but guess what? Navy threw one pass the whole game.
Well, stopping the run is also one of those things where it's like, because it worked in the first quarter doesn't mean it works in the third quarter. And because it worked in the last play, that's why you change plays. That's why
no,
you
I get
change
it. I
scheme.
get
That's
it.
why.
An occasional pass is fine. I get it. But this was ridiculous. Tyler Huntley need to hand that ball off way more than he did. Why was he passing the ball 30 times? He's not Tom Brady. Tom Brady throws the ball 50 times. 30 times. That J.K. Dobbins, what do you have, 120 yards, and he only ran a third of the game? I mean, what is going on here? I don't understand. I do understand passing the ball. You have to pass the ball. You got Andrews. You got Duvernay. You got Prochet. Okay, fine. But you're talking about your backup quarterback. He's got a decent arm. Okay, great. Couple throws here and there. But he's got to not try to jam the ball into places it doesn't belong. And it just baffles my mind that they didn't run more. Dobbins just was eating him up. Gus was eating him up. Even Justice Hill was running through the holes like it was a Mack truck in there. I just don't understand not running the ball more. It boggles my mind. And what's really interesting is these people that say Lamar shouldn't get paid because of the result of Saturday's game. I'm thinking, wait a minute. He didn't play in the game. If anything, that tells you why you need him more. It blows me away. People want everybody gone. They want the whole coaching tree. They want Eric. They want Harbaugh. They want Roman.
Well, that's
out.
What happens when you lose. They're 9-5.
Right.
They're
you're
9-5.
You're not the Texans, who, by the way, took the Cowboys to a last second and took the Chiefs to overtime on the weekend and play like a real football team. And we had a house full of people on Saturday for the game. And I had to remind people, I'm reminding people that the Browns are a professional team and do get paid to play football.
Well, I would say this time of year, right? And maybe you could even take this to finance, that you trip to the finish line or you sprint to the finish line, right? Wherever yep. you are. And I'm a traditional sprinter at the end of the year. I don't have a big family. My wife's the man to save my wife's life's coming in for Christmas. So we're going to make a little bit of time and have a little family time. But this is the time of year I'm sprinting to the finish. I see these teams and certainly players, right? Like yep. Zach Wilson's coming back in a playoff situation and can win a game and doesn't, right? Yep. That you see the Patriots throwing the ball around, doing everything Bill Belichick telling them not to do. But then you see teams like the Lions. You see teams like the Jaguars. And we're talking about the dregs of the league, right? Yep. Perennially. And all of a sudden, they're getting on winning streaks. They're starting to play well. I think you're seeing the Bengals start to show why they were the defending AFC champs this week. Yep. You're starting to see some fight. And so, look at the 49ers. They're the third quarterback, right? Like, and they're still like, I don't know if that's
Mr.
That think,
Irrelevant.
Correct. Mr. Brock Purdy. He's Purdy. My mom used to say that about every Christmas. Yeah, it's Purdy. Leonard Raskin is here from Raskin Global. I would just say this to you, that there is a part for me where the sprinting to the finish line for all of these guys and for the Ravens right now, Calais Campbell, Marcus Peters.
Yeah, not good.
The injury part of this will be as big a story for this team, missing Lamar, missing Ronnie Stanley for long periods of time, missing Dobbins for long periods of time. Obviously, we've written off Bateman, right? Like, he's not around. We don't have a number one receiver. This offense is really struggling because it doesn't have enough talent.
I agree. And that is first and foremost, you know, the issue. And then you got to play with the pieces you have. And I just don't think necessarily they're playing to the strength of the pieces they have. So you put all that together, but you're right. When is the last time they had everybody starters on the field for a game?
Well, they had them ready for the Washington Commanders game a year and a half ago.
Right, right.
You know, at the beginning of the year. And, you know, Stanley went down in the first game in Vegas last year.
Absolutely.
So, like, once he goes down, to me, they're not a Super Bowl contender without Ronnie Stanley.
Changes the whole world.
Like, I've said that all along. They didn't look like a Super Bowl contender at all last year. And they don't look the part when he's not right. He's in there now. And I've said this to Luke. Like, if they stumble and fall and beat the Falcons 17-14 on Saturday.
Have to.
For the holiday weekend.
Have to.
And a couple things go wrong. Jets lose. They then are a playoff team.
Right.
Luke and I are talking about, well, they're going to have to go hard, beat the Steelers, and then they can beat the Bengals, and then they'll win the division. I watched the
possible.
Bengals play.
It's possible. Look, the Bengals played a horrible first half. The Buccaneers defense locked them down, found a way to lock them down. And then they just, look, we all know you got to possess the football. And what the heck happened in the third quarter to Brady and the Bucks? They only turned the ball over on four straight possessions. And it's not hard to win. Well, maybe it would be hard for the Ravens, but for the Bengals, it wasn't hard to win when you started on the 30 or 20 yard line four times. Four touchdowns were fairly easy in that regard. So they're beatable. They're stoppable. Watch that Bucks tape and see how they shut down the offense, because they did it for a half with no problem. Now, you want to see crazy. Look, you more technically than me, but we've been watching football a long time, my friend. Did you watch or see the end of the Raiders-Patriots game?
Yeah, I mean, and it shouldn't have been the end, right? Like,
was
it's
that
a tie
the
game.
Dumbest, craziest, weirdest play you've seen?
Well, there's a feeling to me that the kid who threw the football must have thought they were losing in the game, and the game
had to. How do you not know?
It was a desperation kind of play that says we're
the band
losing.
Is on the field. The band is on the field. How do you throw that thing? Just take a knee, go to overtime. That was hysterical. And if I hadn't seen it, I would. They were talking about it on a broadcast, and I couldn't understand what they were saying happened. They said the Patriots threw a 25-yard backwards pass that the Raiders caught and scored. I'm like, what?
Well, full disclosure for me is I turned Red Zone off in the 4 o'clock hour. Okay. All right, we'll go back to world. We got to do World Cup, because I haven't done enough World Cup. You and I are going to do World Cup.
Yeah.
Okay. But I had a whole Sunday day, really. I worked all morning. I wrote. I'm working on my columnist for this week, working on holiday plans. We're going to do a lot of best of this week. You're going to hear some stuff that's never been unearthed before. Then the soccer match starts, and it winds up being the most compelling 3 hours of sport.
Unreal.
That, that maybe I've ever witnessed, but certainly it's a memorable. It was a memorable World Cup final in the most memorable way ever, right? So there's that. Then the 1 o'clock games come on, and I red zoned. And then at 4 o'clock, I switched out of red zone just to keep my eye on the Bengals and Bucks, because I really wasn't interested in the other game. I had no dog in on for any of this.
Same, exactly.
So my wife texts me, and she said, did you see the end of the Patriot game? Because she's in New England, so I guess that's the game she had on, right?
There you go.
And I'm like, no. It's 10 after 7, and the Bengals are in a game. Like,
Right.
And she tries to text it to me, and as she's texting it to me, they cut away from the Bengals game and showed it. And I'm like, what is that? Like, because out of context, I wasn't watching the game. I just saw the play. And I'm thinking to myself, this is like a pitcher that comes off the mound when he thinks he's got three strikes or four by. Like, literally, you think the play's over. You think you have three outs.
Throw the ball in the stands.
Right.
The
guy's embarrassed himself in
baseball.
Right. That's happened.
Right. It was unbelievable. But to your other conversation, I'll tell you what. So let's get our bearings here on soccer.
Okay.
I am not a soccer fan.
I know this about you.
I don't enjoy it. I don't even like it. I don't watch it. I didn't
have
watch
you ever
a
been to
single
a soccer match? Have you ever gone?
I have not. I have not.
Okay.
I did not even watch 1 minute of the U.S. playing the World Cup. Okay. But here's what I do, because I'm not an NBA fan to level set things either. But if it's a clinching game 7 of the NBA final, I'll turn it on just because I'm a sports nut. So I'll do that. So I felt it was incumbent upon me to watch the final of the World Cup. I know what's at stake. I want to watch it. I want to see 1-0, horrible, boring, miserable soccer. And I got to tell you, it was amazing. It was compelling. It was enjoyable. What struck me as most enjoyable was that these guys weren't just kicking around a ball and running. I mean, these teams had plays, they had plans, they had designs on what they wanted to do, and there was excitement.
It is an
from
incredibly technical
end.
Game once you it start is. To and when it you is. Watch the symmetry of lines moving forward and back. There is a strategic part of it that's very Churchill-y. And my 54-year-old eyes watching it for a month, all day month, I see it better and more, like, not in a way that Pete Carinci sees it, but in a way that I've always respected it, right? Like, you go back to 2002, I was throwing parties down in Fells Point at 4 o'clock in the morning for the Mexican.
Yeah.
Like, I have memories with the sport. I flew to Germany in the town where my wife's the man who saved my wife's life in Dortmund. He's from that town.
Yeah.
We were in his town. He was a 12-year-old boy parking cars that day. So like I have an association, and having been there, I have opted twice. I have had a chance to see Messi play in person.
Yeah.
And I haven't. Now, I could have seen him play in the 06 World Cup by getting an Argentina ticket. I didn't do that. But he played a friendly against Brazil. Argentina played Brazil on a 100-degree day at MetLife Stadium. I want to say it was in about 15 or 16. It was like my wife was not well enough to have that kind of day, but well enough to be okay. I could have gone.
Yep.
And Steve Gorman from the Black Crows, my buddy, was going, and we were going to – and I just – didn't feel like doing, you know, 6 hours in the car.
Yeah.
It was $100 to get in or $100. It didn't matter, but I wanted to see Messi play. And in that environment, Argentina, Brazil, and New York would have been amazing. I didn't go. Messi scored 3 goals that day.
There you go.
So I didn't go.
Well,
He played. Then he played in Houston against the United States. Argentina played the U.S. in a Copa in Houston at Reliance Stadium. My cousin lives down there. I like Houston enough to go down for a lot more than Dallas. So I was thinking about going, and I didn't go. I just didn't go. So I haven't seen Messi play.
Right.
Now, he might play in Miami. They're going to pay him $20 million to play in Miami for 6 months or whatever.
Right.
So
you have a chance.
So this is for me. I want to see. I want to touch greatness like everyone else.
Well, I get it. I get it. Look, I say to people all the time, and a lot of people don't understand this, but as a season ticket holder for the Washington Capitals for years and years and years, people don't understand what it's like to watch Ovechkin on the ice. The dude is amazing, and it's the same thing. You got to watch greatness. You know, being able to see Michael Jordan in his heyday, being able to see Tiger Woods strike that golf ball. It's amazing to watch these guys that have that level of talent. It's just over the top. And watching Messi and Mbappe play and watching what these guys can do with that soccer ball is just stunning. And I think underrated in that game, not missed by everybody, but certainly a lot of people, was the what was it, 189th minute. I don't know what it was, the save that the goalie for Argentina made when that dude was streaking in and stuck his foot out and made an incredible save that probably undoubtedly gave Argentina the chance to win in a shootout they wouldn't have had. And it was remarkable.
Now, you've been all over the world. You spent like 6 weeks running around Europe. Have you ever been to Argentina?
No. Haven't been to South America yet. Have not been to South America.
That's where my people are from. Come on.
I get
it.
Well, you got to take me. You got to take me on a tour.
Well, I would say this, the thing that I love rock and roll, right? And I like, you know, I like football too. And I didn't go to Maracanã in Brazil, but I've been in the National Stadium in Brazil in Sao Paulo seeing U2. I've been in the River Plate, which is, if you go back to Argentina and seeing Maradona play in the River Plate, I saw the Stones play there. All I remember about the Stones show that night is there was a riot outside, have and have nots, right? Because it's Argentina, right?
Right.
But it rained sideways. And you know the Stones always play a couple songs on that other stage, and they walk out the platform in the stadium show. And Keith Richards is playing Happy in the blinding rain, pouring rain in Argentina. And there's 100,000 people, and he's alluded to this. You can go see him talk about this. They sing, Richard, Richard. They sing his name. Ole, ole, ole.
Yeah.
Richard, Richard. So that's Keith Richards. So when you spend 4 or 5 days in Argentina and you see how important soccer is, important the Rolling Stones are, the tongue is ubiquitous to Argentina. It just is. It really is. Not just a rock and roll thing, but like, look at, Google it up.
Yep.
That you have an appreciation, but here's a guy scores a goal 30 minutes into the game and he's sobbing out on the pitch.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So like, there's a different level.
Oh,
you don't
no
see a wide receiver score a touchdown in the Super Bowl and cry.
No, this,
in the third quarter. You just don't see it.
The emotion of the win was incredible. It was just incredible. And it was compelling sports, and that's what we all love. We love watching a contest where there is a winner and a loser, and both are in tears, and it's amazing and incredible. And I thought Argentina won that game 3 times, and they won it once.
So did they.
You're exact. Oh my goodness. Looking at the faces of those guys when France came back and tied it up.
And then almost won in extras, as you pointed out. I mean, France came closer to winning than Argentina.
Oh yeah. And looking at their faces, like you said, they were just distraught. And then to pull it out was an unreal feat. And
Messi didn't cry. Messi just looked so friggin' relieved.
Oh, right. Like that 8,000-pound gorilla climbed off his Argentinian
back. Oh, yeah,
back,
absolutely, man. No doubt.
And I've heard Maradona, and I didn't realize how long that shadow is. But like you say, in a country where that's the thing, it's amazing. Now, the other thing I really enjoyed, I got to say, I don't know who the guy is. You'll know who he is. On the commercial for whatever potato chips it is with Peyton Manning discussing whether it should be called soccer or football.
It's David Beckham.
David Beckham, right. Bend it like Beckham.
He's only
right.
One of the most famous men in the world, but that's okay.
Look, that's because he's a soccer player,
well,
right?
It's because he married a famous woman, too.
He married what's her name?
The Spice Girl,
right? Yeah. See, I should know that. But anyway, but that commercial is hysterical. I still say Peyton Manning has some of the best comedic timing there is.
I mean, if you're going to hire somebody, hire him. If you're going to hire somebody to handle your money, keep a good eye on you and your family, Leonard Raskin's my pal. He's at Raskin Global. I got the shirt on. You can find him at RaskinGlobal.com. Happy holidays to you and your family, man.
And to you.
We will talk some more hockey. Ovechkin did a big thing. We got the Falcons. Next week, Steelers week, right? And then after the Bengals, and we'll cross our fingers on playoffs.
That could be a flex. Bengals or New Year's Day? Is that right? No, Steelers are New Year's Day.
Steelers New Year's Day, right. So the Bengals will be flexed because they'll probably play at night if it mattered for the division.
Oh, it'll be the division, I imagine. You can only bet.
Well, you got to beat the Steelers in order to make that happen.
You got to beat the Steelers. You got to beat the Falcons.
Get Lamar back out on the field. Leave Greg Roman alone and let them bake the cake is what I say here.
Yeah,
week,
hey,
right?
You know, you deal with the coaches in the offseason. You're not going to cut them now.
Get him healthy. Got to get Calais Campbell on the field. Also, Marcus Peters. Leonard, I hope you have a beautiful holiday, man. I hope you have a great time going down to Atlanta. I wish I had some great hotspots in Atlanta that were family-oriented, but none of them I know. Not family-oriented, not Atlanta. But I mean, there's a great aquarium there.
I have friends there. It's not a problem. We're going to connect on New Year's Eve day. The first game is at, I think, 4 o'clock, so we'll be finding somewhere close to the stadium to watch the team up north against TCU. That's the 4 o'clock game. And then we'll be watching the Buckeyes and the Dogs at 8 o'clock. And we'll either be partying into midnight or sobbing in our pillows, one or the other.
Get some soul food while you're down there, all right?
Eat a
Waffle House. Do it all.
Oh,
up.
Yeah.
Leonard Raskin, in his mind, he's headed to Atlanta. Oh, Atlanta, as Little Feet once sang, for Peach Bowl activities. I am headed to some greatest hits and some cool stuff. We had an incredible crab cake tour stop last week with our friends over in Dundalk. All my Dundalk friends, rock and roll friends, came out. We had Dan Rodericks 2 weeks ago celebrating Baltimore. And we are shipping crab cakes all over the world. All of our sponsors, Fadley's, Costas, Pappas, Conrad's, order them from all of our places. Shipped, and they're all different, I promise you, and they're all delicious as well. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy New Year to everyone celebrating. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive during the holidays.